This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Nick Lowe has a new CD. Earlier this week, he stopped by our studio with his guitar to play a few songs from it. This is his second performance on Fresh Air. Nick Lowe is a singer, songwriter, guitarist, and record producer who first became known as a member of the British band Brinsley Schwartz, which was part of the pub rock scene of the early 70s. In 1976, he co-founded the new wave record label Stiff. He produced the first albums recorded by Elvis Costello and Graham Parker. In 1979, Lowe's own record, Cruel to Be Kind, made the American Top 20. Another of his well-known songs, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding, was recorded by Elvis Costello and later became quite profitable when the song was performed on the soundtrack of the movie The Bodyguard. Nick Lowe's new CD is called Dig My Mood. It's on Upstart Records. Nick Lowe, welcome back to Fresh Air. You know, the new album's called Dig My Mood. A lot of the mood on the new album is pretty depressed.
Blue, I think. Depression's something else, I think. It's like an illness, depression is. I think blue is feeling, you know, a feeling.
That's a nice distinction. Why don't we start with a song from the new CD? The song that opens it up is called Faithless Lover. Yeah, right.
Okay. Faithless lover, heartless thing, for you I'll swing and for no other. Faithless lover, faithless lover, faithless lover, under your spell I fell, now I discover. Faithless lover, faith no more. Faithless lover, faithless lover, faithless lover, under your spell I fell, now I discover. Faithless lover, faith no more. Faithless lover, faith no more.
That's a great song, and I know you've written at least one song, probably more, for Johnny Cash. This sounds as if it could have been a song that you wrote for him. He's your former father-in-law. Was this a Johnny Cash
song? What, Faithless Lover?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't, actually. There's another song on the record which sounds you might be getting mixed up with, called The Man That I've Become, which is much more of a Johnny Cash style.
Yes, but I hear this one as possibly that,
well,
too.
Well, that's really great that you say that, because I think that Johnny Cash is the sort of, is a real great artist. Obviously, I do, you know, but because he's good enough to see into a song See, well, if a song is any good, it might not appear to be obviously Johnny Cash's style song, but he's the sort of artist who can put his thing onto a good song. And it's the reason why so many people have pointed out to me the other song on my record.
Well, it has the kind of bass line, the other song, that you expect from a Johnny Cash.
The little Luther Perkins.
Yeah.
That little Luther Perkins pop thing. But I would never send a song, an overtly Johnny Cash in inverted commas song to Johnny, you know, because I think it's kind of insulting to do that. If I had a good song, I would send him that, because I think that he's good enough to spot a good song as opposed to somebody trying to write something for him and what they perceive as his sort of style, you know. And people have done that to me as well. They've sent me songs that they think I can do, and they're in this weird thing that they think I do, you know, and it's kind of embarrassing to hear.
Right. Well, Faithless Lover is not only a very minor key brooding song, it's a very minimalist song, both in terms of melody and music. Everything's completely stripped away. You know what I mean? It's something very stark about
it. Bobby Erwin, a.k.a. Robert Traherne, who plays drums with me, said to me when we recorded that, he said, that's the best Belgian song you've ever written. Because, and I was very pleased about it, because I've been listening to a lot of French chanson, you know, and Jack Brel and Gilbert Beco and Charles Aznavour, you know, and I can speak schoolboy French. I can't really understand, but what I was trying to conjure up was that sort of Belgian kind of wet cobblestones, trench coat, you know, with a collar turned up kind of thing. And so, therefore, I didn't want to make the song too, even lyrically, too complicated. You know, that's all it is. It's just a mood with Faithless Lover and just a mood. So if you get on it right, you know, it sounds more sort of complicated than it actually is.
Nick Lowe is my guest, and his new CD is called Dig My Mood. And since we were talking about Johnny Cash and how this was not a song that you wrote for him, you mentioned that there's another song on your CD that does sound very much as if it was written for Johnny Cash. I'm going to ask you to do that song for us. I think it's a very funny song. Do you want to say anything about writing it or what inspired it?
It sort of wrote itself, this one. I don't know whether the songs I do are autobiographical or not, you know, or if they're, I just make up a character and the character kind of writes the song, but it's still a mystery to me, really, songwriting. And the older I get, the more baffling it becomes, because do you want to hear what my theories on that? You probably
don't.
Yeah,
sure. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we get to the song and then we'll get to the theory?
Yeah, sure. There's a kind of man that you sometimes meet. World's passing him by on winged feet. He walks around with his senses numb. If you know him, that's the kind of man that I've become. The kids all know him, 'cause when they play, he comes and shoos them away. He's irritated by everyone. If you know him, that's the kind of man that I become. Friends he had are so-called now. They all slipped away somehow. He's had the blues much more than some. If you know him, that's the kind of man that I become. He won't go to church 'cause his faith's all gone. The sweet singing of the choir will only drive him home. As for comfort, he hasn't got a crumb. If you know him,
that's the kind of man that I become. He won't go to church, it's too loud for him now. The sweet singing of the choir, nothing but a row. His heart's a prune when it once was a plum. If you know him, that's the kind of man that I become. If you know him, that's the kind of man that I become.
Terrific song. That's Nick Lowe performing in our studio. And he also does the song on his new CD, Dig My Mood. I want to get to your theory now of songwriting.
Oh, do we really need like to? I was warming up.
No, it sounds like songwriting is a very elusive process to explain.
Well, the older I get, as I say, the more I realise that the songwriters that I admire seem to be able to, like Dan Penn, for instance.
Who you're touring with
now. Who we're touring with right now, yes. There's some songwriters seem to be able to pull an idea out of the air, and it goes into their head, and when it comes out, as it comes out of their mouth, they don't seem to interfere with it. And most people who aren't as good as that tend to, when they get an idea, it might be a good idea as well, but they tend to force it into a kind of bag, you know, and it gets interfered with by the human, going from the thought to the human process seems to interfere with it. So I tend now, because I don't know how you to turn the feeling on or indeed to turn it off. So sometimes it comes along, sometimes it doesn't. But when I do get in a mood about a song, I go into a kind of a trance or something like that and let the song kind of work itself out rather than me going, oh, this is good, you know, right, I just need another verse and it'll be great, you know. If the second verse doesn't want to be like the first verse, then I let it, you know, that's fine. And just being as simple as you can, I think, is that it strangely turns around and it becomes... That simplicity can become the interesting part, and actually strangely complicated and complex. It's a very, very odd process, and as I say, the older the longer I do it, the more baffling it is.
Well, when you're writing a song, do you sit down and say, let me write a song about a faithless lover? Let me try this approach to writing about that subject, or does the song come out as a song about faithless lover?
I think it's... No, it just sounded great to sing that, you know, after I was going, faithless lover. It just sort of sounded profound. I think that's all that was. I didn't set out to, you know, when I sing it, I haven't got someone in my mind that I want to kick, you know.
My guest is Nick Lowe. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Nick Lowe, he has a new CD called Dig My Mood. You strike me as the kind of songwriter for whom a lot of different influences come into play. Rock and roll, pop, country music. And you've written songs that kind of salute all those styles without being totally fixed in one style yourself. I figure you're probably a very serious listener to music.
I suppose I am, yes. When I do actually listen to music, as I have two sort of modes. One is when I'm in my car, and I can never play anything that I like in my car because I just can't drive. You know, I think red lights are green and green lights are red, and I just cannot drive. I get so into it that
So you play things that I like when you're in the car? Because you can't play things that you like?
No, I play the radio. Oh. So it's a random thing. And there's a station in London, the BBC station in London, which is a pretty good sort of rock station. But they every so often they play the latest stuff, sort of rock, white kind of rock music, you know. But when I'm at home, I never really play any contemporary music because the way it's recorded now, it's too kind of thumpy or something, you know, and it spoils my peace of mind or something, you know. It always sounds too loud to me.
So what do you play at home?
I'll play blues or country and western. Percy Mayfield, for instance, is one of my favourites at the moment, and I've started listening to quite a lot of jazz players as well, like Ben Webster and Lester Young and Sonny Stitt. I'm a great fan of those players, but they're all, you see, they I don't hear horn players as good as that now. You see, I don't think that people know how to do that anymore.
You know, a lot of like rock and roll songwriting, there's like your basic chords and very basic harmonies, and when you get into jazz, the chords become much more adventurous, as the melodies do in a way too. Do you find yourself adding certain chords and melody intervals that are coming more out of jazz?
Well, not really, because I'm very, very frightened some words come to me that were spoken first by a guy called Viv Stanchel. Do you know who he was? He was a sort of a great English eccentric. He had a band called the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. He's sadly no longer with us, but he's a very funny man. And he said about jazz, he said, jazz, delicious, hot, disgusting, cold. And I'm very, very conscious about how much awful jazz there is. It's a kind of music which, even though I don't know how to play it, I know enough about music, I think, to spot when someone is bluffing me and when someone really ain't that good. And when you hear, there's so much of that stuff, it's so easy to bluff, that I've got a terror of, because I have a little bit of knowledge, you know, of doing cold jazz, disgusting cold jazz. le jazz, disgusting.
Served the way I like.
So I really try and stay away from that. But on this record, there's a couple of things which have sort of got that influence. But I think they're just, when you hear them on their own, they're just country and western chords. There's only four chords, you know. But when you put a little bit of the icing on, you know, and then suddenly, hey presto, you got yourself a bit of jazz.
Well, what about a song that you do on the new CD called "You Inspire Me," which has a lot of piano accompaniment on the CD, and definitely comes
piano.
Out of, excuse me?
Brilliant piano on that. Geraint did, yes. He plays so beautifully on that. It really is great stuff, I think.
That seems kind of jazz inspired.
Oh, I think so, yeah. Although when we were doing that, I said to them, I said, listen, boys, remember old Viv Stanchel, what he said, you know, so just behave yourselves and remember you're just a bunch of duff old rock and roll geezers, you know, don't get any aspirations of greatness here, you know. And as a result, they played it really great because they're not used to playing jazz, you know, and so they didn't.
You want to do it for us?
I'll have a go at it, yeah. It'll sound quite sort of bare, but you might get the drift. You inspire me when my eyes begin to glaze. You inspire me in so many ways. When I'm on the ground, seem to know how to pull the blessings down and spread them all around. You inspire me when my well is almost dry. You inspire me, and in the twinkling of an eye, I'm back on my feet. You're so inspiring to me. The road is long, and it winds through the night. But when you're near, you let there be
light. You inspire me when my eyes begin to glaze. You inspire me in so many ways. I'm back on my feet. You're so inspiring. I don't have to wish upon a star. That's how inspiring you are.
Oh, real nice.
It's simple, though, isn't it? When you hear it just with all the sort of toffee topping taken off it.
Nick Lowe's new CD is called Dig My Mood. He'll be back in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with more of our concert and interview with British singer, songwriter, and guitarist Nick Lowe. He has a new CD called Dig My Mood. The mood is a blue mood, and as you mentioned, you think there's a big difference between being blue and being depressed. Let's explore that a little bit more, and what kind of mood you tend to write in. Like, why is this album more of a blue mood than previous?
Well, because it just feels so good to sing that sort of music. It's for the same reasons people put on blues music. You know, don't put on a blues album, to make yourself feel worse. You put it on because it cheers you up. And I think that, again, you know, I've got to the stage now where that's all I want to sing about, really, is about love and the lack of it, you know, and what happens to how you get it and what happens when it's taken away from you. I don't think there's anything more interesting than that. And everything is connected to that as well. It's a rite of passage, and singing about it is just, I love it. I love to do it. If I was the guy in a lot of these songs, you know, in other words, if I walked around feeling as bad as that, I wouldn't be able to write any songs, or let alone go to a recording studio and round up some fellas to come and give me a hang, because they wouldn't want to hang around me very much. So it's something that you... I know what it feels like, but I don't feel like it all the time. But I know what it feels like to be blue. Yes, indeed, I do.
You said something recently in an interview that I thought was interesting, and it had to do with living alone. You described yourself as a classic late 20th century alone person. You said, I think there are more and more people like us still living alone.
Yes, I do, and I think I probably am. I'm sort of, well, I don't know if doomed is the right word, but I think it's probably too late for me now. I'm so used to coming and going as I please, you know, and I can, I can take care of myself and everything, but also I have a sort of small, I've got a manager, you know, I get someone comes around and puts the Hoover around, you know. around my place and all the rest of it. So it's not exactly, I'm not exactly on my own, you know. I have people taking care of things for me. But I'm very used to it. And the times when I do feel actually lonely are so much fewer than the times when I revel in my aloneness. You know, being alone, I think, is this tremendous, you're tremendously lucky to be alone in this day and age in a lot of ways.
You grew up in the early days of rock and roll when the question was, will rock and roll
last?
Well,
not that early.
Well,
steady on.
Yeah, well, when you were growing up, the rock and roll, it was like you're the first generation to grow up with rock and roll.
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah.
I had an older sister who actually bought Elvis Presley records and Little Richard records.
Right.
And they were a little bit before
my time.
Was she
like 5 years older than you, maybe?
Yeah, she's about 5 years older than me.
Yeah.
My thing was more the Beatles and the Kinks,
okay.
And everything. When that scene came on, that was absolutely, I was dead right, you know, age group for that.
So when you were a kid, people, adults were still asking the question, is this music going to last? This is just a passing fad, blah, blah, blah. And of course it wasn't. But then the question became, well, what will the songs be when the people performing them are in their 40s or 50s? Can adults sing these songs and so on and so on? And I mean, one of the things I really like about the songs you're writing now is that, you know, they're rock pop songs, but they're adult songs. I mean, the music is really flexible. It's not just teenage music, which of course we know, but it's nice to hear that proven again.
Well, that's great if you think that, because if I'm trying to do anything with what I do now, it's to do something which is not too grown up. You know, it's got to have a little amateur hour thing in it. You know, that's what I've always liked. It's got to sound a little bit amateur and like it could fall to bits any second. But it's got a kind of something that's elegant about it somehow, you know, and it's got some dignity, because the spectacle of seeing old guys, you know, up on the stage kind of doing what they did when they were kids, I think is, well, I don't like seeing that. So I want to try and avoid doing that if I can, you know. And a lot of people are sort of I meet a few people who are sort of disappointed that I don't do that anymore. They think that I should still be doing what I did when I was in all the magazines and on the TV all the time, you know, back in the 70s and things. And I had a ball back then. I loved it. It was real good fun. But I don't want to do that anymore.
You don't want to be the Jesus of cool anymore.
No, I really don't, you know. But it's the same with everybody. You know, they people sort of want to relive their youth through you somehow, and that's not an option for me. You know, if they think that that's what I'm going to do, then they never really got me in the first place. So I've been kind of waiting to get old enough to do this stuff. Really.
Well, the songs you've sung have been very, very blue and moody. I'm going to ask you if you would do a song that's a different mood for us, something more up-tempo.
Yes. Without Love.
Sure.
Okay. Yes.
Tell us something about the song before you do.
Well, this is one that I recorded when I was still with Rockpile, I suppose. It came out on, I think, my second solo album. And initially, when I first thought it up, when we went to record it, we wanted to do it kind of like the Monkees, you know. We wanted that weird sort of Nashville playing pop music, like Last Train to Clarksville or a Daydream Believer, or with, you know, very strummy acoustics and the sound of really great musicians playing dumb. That's what I always think about those.
I'm glad we're getting to this right after talking about adult music.
Yeah. Well, I suppose so. Yeah, but this is quite a long time ago. Of course, we thought about this, but anyway. But of course, Johnny Cash did a version of this song, and he put the country in it, you know. And so now I'm doing it now, and I don't know what the hell it is now. Shall I just play it?
Yeah, please.
Without love, I am half human. Without love, I'm more machine. Without love, there's nothing doing. I am dying without love. Without love, I am an island all by myself in the heartbreak sea. Without love, there's no denying, I am dying without love. For there is nowhere I can run, and there is no hiding place. Sticking out like a sore thumb by the gloomy look upon my face. Without love, I'm incomplete. And without love, I am not whole. Without love, I'm barely on my feet. I am dying without love.
For there is nowhere I can run, and there is no hiding place, sticking out like a sore thumb by the gloomy look upon my face. Well, without love, I'm incomplete, and without love, I am not whole. Without love, I'm barely on my feet, I am dying without love. Oh yes, I'm dying without love. I am dying, dying, dying without love.
Niccolo, that was great. Thank you so much for performing with us and talking, performing for us and talking with us today. It's really been great. Thank you.
A pleasure. Thanks very much, Terry.
Niccolo's new CD is called Dig My Mood.